Dear friends, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us in another Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. This week, we would like to share with you some fundamentals on those key elements that have to do with observation, comprehension, and elimination. This part that we will do today is very specific to the aspect of the comprehension of the defect. And we dedicate a Gnostic Lab to this, because not everybody is able to understand what exactly is it that we need to do so that we can comprehend our psychological aggregates. And when it comes to understanding them, if our understanding of the ego is very superficial, if it is very incipient, well, obviously, our Divine Mother will only be able to eliminate that which we have comprehended. And that means that of its totality, we will only see the elimination of just a small fraction of it. And it is true that that will start making the defect less intense. It is true that it's going to make it more manageable. But there is a negative aspect to that. Because if you don't continue working it until these defects become eradicated, the moment that they become non-threatening, you start creating this sense of security, this sense of having things under control, and you put it aside, you get into this mindset of if it's not creating problems, it's fine, so you just put it aside, and then it continues to gain strength once again, and before you realize, one day everything explodes before your eyes. So, in this aspect of psychoanalysis, on the three elements required for the elimination of the defect, observation, comprehension, and the invocation of the Divine Mother, we are going to cover the topic of psychoanalysis, which is comprehension. And this is the didactic to eliminate the positive and the negative values. We have already spoken about why is it that the positive values are also something that we need to eliminate. We have mentioned in many times how is it that we will find ourselves trying to do a favor, trying to be serviceable, altruistic. We will say things, do things, and suddenly things unfold in a way that we were not expecting. Suddenly, people understand the wrong thing and things get complicated. And the moment that happens, you know it has happened. And what do we say? That is not what I intended. That is not what I meant. And it is because these defects, even though they are positive, they are more useful than the other inferior aspects that we have, they are certainly not perfect. Even in our own aggregates of altruism, we find desires and commitments and fears and many other things. So we have to eliminate the positive and the negative. Now, if anything, this, number one, should not shock you. And number two, this should bring you some degree of happiness. Because now you're just not chasing for these inferior aspects like the arrogance and the intolerance. Now you're not focusing only on resentments and anything that has to do with frustrations. Now you're just not focusing on ambition or greed or things of the sort. Now the doors are fully open. And now you know that if there are aspects of you who are very passionate about cleaning the house, that is a defect that we have to go in and comprehend, because there is nothing wrong with cleaning the house. But if there are elements that are obsessed with cleaning and organization, those are positive values that we need to work on eliminating. But what happens? The moment that you decide that you're going to be making a change, there is an immediate opposition from the ego. And it is worthy of the time and effort for you to observe how is it that this affects you in your life. Because we have to become as astute or more astute than our own defects. So that the moment that they start playing any tricks, that we can see them, recognize them, and address them for what they are. Here's an example of this. Some people express their love in different ways. Some people find that that their expressions of love are through acts of service. For other people, their expressions of love are through gifts and exchanges. For other people, expressions of love are strictly affections, hugs and kisses and scratches and things like that. By now, this should all be somehow familiar to you and real, tangible. When it comes to the resistance of the ego, the moment that your ego sees itself threatened, it will do whatever it can do to fool you, to create distractions so that you focus in something else and not the ego itself. We know of a friend who, after spending some time studying the works of Samael, they decided that they were going to join another school. And while they made the transition, well, they started combining the doctrine of Samael and the doctrines of the other school. And to no surprise, they started finding that many of the elements that are discussed in Gnosis are present in the teachings of the other school. Thus, the first thing that came to mind is, this is good, this is Gnosis. Allow us to explain very well that Gnosis is not a religion. Gnosis is not a book. Gnosis is not a thinking. Gnosis is not a process. Gnosis is many things. Gnosis is doctrine. It is devotional practice. It is rituals. It is mystical practices. It has an element of art. It has an element of philosophy. It has elements of science. You see, Gnosis is many things at the same time. And the Gnosis that Samael Aun Weor unveils for us is by far the synthesis of all of the world's greatest religions and doctrines. So here we find the best of Hinduism, the best of Buddhism, the best of yoga, whether it is Bhakti or Raja or Agni. We find here the very best of the teachings that you find in Theosophy and Rosicrucianism. All of the best, it is everything synthesized in this. The moment we take this and we start combining it with other stuff, it is no longer Gnosis as a doctrine. No longer Gnosis. The moment that we start saying, yeah, but take this from the Ramayana, put it here, no longer Gnosis. The moment that we start extracting things from the Bible and the Popol Vuh and we start forcing it into, it's no longer Gnosis. So because they were finding these similarities, the ego made it very easy to make that gliding slope for them to land in the school. As they landed in the school, we started noticing a change in their behaviors. Later on, they said, you know, it's been many months since I have been able to unfold in the astral body or dream or have experiences or see things or remember my day. And we, from a distance, continued to observe, trying to highlight where the dangers were. But as they got there, as they were convinced that that is where they had to be in that school, which there's nothing wrong with that, everybody is free to choose, what ended up happening is that to certify or to build on the certainty that that was the right thing to do, the ego, through its telepathy and the magnetic attractions that it creates, starts using the expressions of love of that person to cement them outside of the core of the doctrine of Gnosis that Samael unveils. So as they are there, they share with some friends, and their friends, they bring them gifts. Because for that person, their expressions of love are from the perspective of exchanging and gifts. And in a matter of a couple of days, the person came back with maybe half a dozen gifts, all of them exotic, and very happy because of how well they are being treated in that place, provided that they still cannot unfold, they still cannot remember their day, they still have very little short spans of attention, provided that the work that they have been doing is not rendering the results that they need. So there is always opposition from the ego. And if there is something that we need to tell you, is that the astuteness of the ego is something that we need to be able to detect, perceive, understand, and decipher so that we can catch it for what it is. Because the ego is too clever. Just like when it comes to temptations, the ego plays with you this game of reaching and getting close and then withdrawing and creating distance. Well, that starts creating a flirting with danger that gives the false sense of security and makes you believe that you're in control. So the ego does not go from nothing into you falling into a condition of fornication or adultery. Overnight, certainly not. There are many little steps that the ego paves so that you start getting closer to the dangerous condition without even realizing. And you, not being aware, start walking towards the slippery slope, and before you realize, it is then too late. This is the opposition of the ego. And the ego will always create dramatic situations in which it will start luring you, thinking that there is no danger, that everything is fine, that you really shouldn't be so uptight. The moment that you come to realize, a lot of weeks, months, years have passed, and you can tell that there has been no progress in your level of being, and all you can do is just look back and realize that maybe that was not the right thing. So anticipate the opposition. And the only way that you can detect that opposition is by remaining as aware as possible of the circumstances. Simply by maintaining the remembrance of self. Or, as we discussed last week in the Gnostic Lab, by splitting your attention into the subject, the object, and the location. This is how we can perceive the opposition of the ego. As you can perceive that opposition, as you can see its hypnotic enchantments and how is it that it lures you to come in this or that direction. If you become a little aggressive and you decide, now that I have seen that, I am decided that I am not going to be taking that action. I am not going to be taking that step. I am not going to lead myself into those danger zones. As you become then ready to start working on the elimination, the ego uses something that is known as the force of countertransference. Now let's remember that the ego is an energetic entity, and everything that surrounds us is a manifestation of different condensations of energy. Our personality is energetic, the ego is energetic, the function of the mind is energetic. And when it comes to the force of countertransference, those egos, as inferior as they are, they will start attracting towards themselves the typical situations of conflict, of discord, of disorientation that they are notoriously known for creating. So suddenly, you would like to put into practice certain exercises and you need to sit down, relax the body and meditate. And suddenly there's a dog that will not start barking, that will not stop barking. Or there is a neighbor who has a young teenager that will blast the music in ways that they rarely ever do, but that day happened to be the day. Or the air conditioning system will break and it will be too hot. Or you will be too uncomfortable, or you will not be able to find your meditation pillow, or you will not be able to do this. Or that is all part of the force of countertransference. We face it every so often when we are covering subjects and topics in these lectures that are very crucial, that are truly shocking to the consciousness and transformative, well, we see them all the time. The computers stop working, the internet connections break, your phone does not receive the audio that it needs, etc., etc. So the ego will always put an opposition to lure you so that you are no longer focused on eliminating it, so that you are enchanted, distracted with something else. And if you break that, the force of countertransference will start creating barriers so that you can effectively get there with your work. And what happens is that countertransference relies on a very specific cycle of identification, fascination, and sleep of the consciousness. If all of a sudden your computer is not working, well, you identify with that and you may become frustrated. The frustration may take you to anger. The moment that you're angry, you try to bring about all of the knowledge that you have on Wi-Fi and wireless connections and network interfaces and whatever else you have to work on your computer, and you, in fascination, throw yourself in there. An hour later, you are in the sleep of the consciousness, troubleshooting the machine as if you were an IT technology technician. And meanwhile, well, the conference is over. This is what happens. Opposition to distract you, to lure you. And then those more physical resistances and barriers to the work that needs to be done. Now, I already shared with you, how is it that you can identify the opposition that the ego will set? We have to split our attention between the subject, the object, and the location. But how do we deal with a countertransference? How do we deal with something that appears to be so disconnected from us as the dog next door that will not stop barking? How do we deal with something that seems so random? As you being unable to find your meditation pillow to sit down and meditate? How is it that we can deal with something that appears to be out of the blue? Like your neighbor's teenage son just blasting the music out of the radio in his car across the street. You see, for things like that, we have to understand the structure and the transactions of the ego. Structure and transactions. One is, how is it that the ego operates? How is it that the ego responds? What is it that moves the ego and springs the ego into action? And the second one is, once that ego has done its job with the human machine, how is it that it moves away and allows another defect to control the machine? Because those transactions are the equivalent of a pilot in an aircraft who, once he has assumed control of the airplane, well, he stands up and he hands off the controls of the aircraft to another pilot, and he just goes somewhere else, and then now there's another pilot who is taking care of flying the airplane. This is what happens. To overcome the countertransference, we have to understand the structure of the ego, and we have to understand its transactions. And for us to do this, the biggest trick is by isolating the defect that we need to study. Because these egos, as you start observing your daily transactions and your daily doings, you will see that there are egos that stay longer in control of the human machine, certainly longer than others. Sometimes, if you are a person who is prone to anger, well, you could get angry at 9 in the morning, and by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you can still be fuming. So those defects, that there's so much affinity for that drama, well, they will stay there for a long time. But there are defects that happen to assume ownership and control of the human machine for just a handful of minutes, or for just 1 minute, enough so that there is no vacuum Because nature does not tolerate vacuum. You see, if there were anywhere where there were vacuum, that would mean that the all would be missing there. And if the all is missing, then that means that something else must be occupying its space. And if that's the case, then that something would be just as great or greater than the all, and that would be an impossibility. So nature does not tolerate vacuum. And to avoid the vacuum, even if it is just for a short instance, there would be defects, aggregates, that would assume control of the human machine. And if we say there would be a value that assumes control of the human machine, then maybe that would make more sense to you. Because it could be a value that is positive, that happens to be there just for a handful of minutes, and then the situation gets distorted once again, and then there is another negative value that comes and assumes control. So tonight, as we are looking at comprehending our defects, now that we know from the teaching of last week that by splitting our attention in the subject, the object, and the location, that we can learn to see the tricks and the oppositions of the ego, that's good. Today we're going to focus on the structural and the transactional analysis. So let's start by looking at the structure of the ego itself. Because we have five cylinders in the human machine. And there are egos that by nature, they are just conflictive. They are quarrely. They like comparisons. They are always comparing, and they are always debating, and they are always looking for opposites. All of those defects exist within the realm of the intellect, in the intellectual cylinder, or the intellectual center. There are defects, values, positive and negative ones, that reside within the emotional center. You know that the emotional center is located three fingers above the navel. And those aggregates, well, they are very distinguishable because they crave for attention. They love the transactions of energy, whether it is with them or among others. So we have different psychological aggregates that very cruelly and cleverly will say something here, will say something there, and we will see some conflict generated among others, and those egos will gladly sit comfortably and watch the drama unfold and the catfights take place. These egos that are rooted in the emotional center, they crave emotions. They crave feelings. And those feelings, they will either demand them from somewhere, or they will give them in abundance, or they will just bask in the glory of seeing others simply go at it. You find yourself in any of those situations where you feel that people don't like you enough, they don't respect you enough, they don't treat you the way that maybe they should. Situations in which you feel that your significant, your spouse, your girlfriend, could be more affectionate, that they should be more respectful. All of these defects, they're rooted right there in the emotional center. And if we notice things of the sort, we already know where to go look. But also, we have a motor sexual instinctive center. Let's focus on the motor center that is located at the top of the spine, base of the cranium. Many of these defects, values, whether positive or negative, they rely on the habits that they can express through the body. Sometimes you will sit down and you will notice that whether it is your right or your left leg, it's kind of bouncing up and down. There's no rhyme or reason. It is just that the leg likes to move. These are defects that somehow you observe someone and they have grabbed either a pen or a pencil, and you see them that they appear to be listening, but somehow they are using the pen and they are caressing themselves as if just doing things that are soothing for the senses. Those are certainly aggregates that are rooted in the motor center. If you happen to listen to music, and you cannot but notice how well you play the air drums, you know, you start playing the drums, even though there are no drums, or you play the air guitar, or you kind of dance, these are all values that are rooted in the motor center. So by now, you should be getting a picture of how is it that these things fall within the centers of the human machine. But let me speak about those that are triggered by impulses of survival. Because part of what we bring into this existence with this humanoid body are the instinctive impulses that we carried from the time in which we were part of the animal kingdom. And those survival impulses are impulses that invite to either fight or flee. They are not as clear-cut as that. It is not just start running, and it is not just start fighting. But just like the feline, many of these defects, they will kind of maneuver around in ways that are very quiet. They will move around like a cat that is ready to pounce. But when the pressure starts building and that quote-unquote feline gets discovered, it reacts. And in those reactions, well, those psychological aggregates, those values, whether positive or negative, that the moment that the pressure builds, they just want to run away. Be it by just saying, I am not going to take this, and turn around and just walk the other way to the other room. That's an example. In many cases, people even grab the keys of the car and they get in the car and they storm out of the house with the purpose of creating as much distance from the source of discomfort, because those defects translate distance as safety, as security. On the other hand, if those are defects or aggregate or values, whether positive or negative ones, that are looking forward to creating the quarrel, to engaging in that battle. It is not the battle that has to do with the superior dialectic of discourse and debate. No, it is not that. It is just arguing for the sake of arguing. Arguing for the sake of pushing buttons. Arguing for the sake of saying things that are hurtful enough that the other person would receive that, experience the pain, and cease their attacks. All of those values, positive or negative ones, they are rooted in the instinctive center at the base of the spine. And when it comes to those that are rooted in the sexual center, those are all those that are sexual in nature. But notice that those that are sexual in nature, they are not just brutally lustful, that it's crystal clear that it's lust. Because we all have this thing called the peeping Tom. Sometimes all it takes is a person from the opposite sex to just walk by, and whether it is the aromas or the flows of the hair, of the hair locks, or the shapes and the contours of the body, whatever that is enough for the eyes to disobey and simply follow those motions. Sometimes that expression is so strong that it is not just the eyes. The moment that the eyes find their limit, they force the turning of the head and even the turning of the shoulder so that they can continue contemplating that figure. And that is the peeping Tom. And that is an element of lust. And it is rooted in our sexual center. Anything that sparks and invites that manifestation of crude desire, certainly rooted in the sexual center. And friends, it is important that we know this, because when we know from where the ego is coming from, and when we understand what is the typical behavior of those defects that come from this or that cylinder in the human machine, we can then start identifying with a lot more ease how is it that those egos operate when it comes to the use of the mind. Because remember, our mind, our desires, our fears, our willpower, they are trapped in the ego itself. So if it is egos that are rooted in the intellect, you will see that those egos will thrive dealing with something that fuels them, like fear. And when you're dealing with a problem, and you have fear behind that problem, provided that fear is one of those many different aggregates, well, you will see that the mind can stay debating with that problem, rooted in fear, for days, and take away your sleep, your relaxation, your patience, and your serenity. It will even take away your health, because those defects don't know of any other than to compare and look for alternatives. If they are rooted in the emotion, the thinking becomes very erratic. Because sometimes those that are rooted in the emotion, as they receive the shock or as they are creating the shock, they will try to use the mind to come up with what else to say, with how to structure a defense. And their thinking is so poor, so inferior, and so erratic that they will not be able to come up with anything useful. Sometimes there would be like nothing coming out of the mind itself, and they will resort to just applying more force, steal more sexual energy to expel more negative vibration, negative emotion, to create the shock that they need and force that separation that gives them a sensation of security. As we start understanding this, we start understanding how the aggregate uses the mind to think. As we understand how the mind is thinking, we can better understand the emotions that we are experiencing when that aggregate is in charge of the human machine. Because thoughts always precede the emotions. Many of these thoughts, you will notice that they happen at the level of the subconscious or the infraconscious. You will know that you feel an emotion, but you cannot detect anything happening within the realm of the mind. When we say you, we're not referring to the combination of your body, personality, soul. Speaking more here of that observer that exists within you, that fraction of consciousness that is active, actively seeking for this wisdom, that internal observer. So you will notice that that observer, it may look in the intellect trying to find out what thoughts are here, because the emotion is very clear, it is very tangible, you're feeling it, but you cannot detect the thoughts. Those thoughts are happening very deep within the deepest realms of levels of the mind. But if you know what you are feeling and you are clear that it is not that you're content, it is not that you are indifferent, it is not that you are fearful or that you are sad, you know that it is that you're frustrated, that you're teetering with rage, well, then you can then, understanding how those emotions are being felt, you can then start extracting what the thoughts are. Friends, because the thoughts always precede the emotions. The thought always precedes the emotion. And then suddenly you realize that there is an aspect of you that is thinking about inflicting pain, whether it is verbal pain, emotional pain, psychological pain. In many cases, people in these days, we're seeing it, physical. And you will notice those thoughts. And then you will see how those emotions are complementing those thoughts. So we have to understand, where is it coming from? How is it thinking? How is it feeling? What is it doing to the body? You will see that your hands may get sweaty. You may see that you maybe are clenching your jaw. You will see that maybe you're just clenching your lips. You will see that your eyebrows may be doing something different. You may notice that you start crouching, that maybe your fists are closed. Maybe you can see some kind of nervous hysteria in your hands and in your feet, and you're walking to and fro, not really going anywhere. This is the kind of thing that we need to observe to understand. Friends, because when we understand this structural analysis, the amount of information that you're gathering from your aggregate is so much that when you invoke of the power of your Divine Mother, with her infinite love, she jumps in, she intervenes, and she can help eliminate that which has been comprehended. And those eliminations, though partial, they bring a tremendous amount of relief. But we have to be tenacious and continue observing, even though that defect is no longer threatening, even though that defect does not look dangerous anymore. Samael says, dedicate 2 months to any defect that you have discovered. 2 months. If we were to assume, and somebody help us here with the math, that you're going to dedicate 2 months for the elimination of your defects, and you have, let's say, 1,000 values that you know that you need to deal with. If we were just going to eliminate half, dedicating 2 months, well, we are speaking that 500 at 2 months, that's roughly 1,000 months. And 1,000 months is a lot of years of our life. So what we want to tell you as well is that the words of Master Samael cannot be taken lightly. He says, this is difficult, this takes time. This requires patience, diligence, discipline, and tenacity. So don't think that overnight you're going to solve the problem of all these aggregates. We have lived plenty of lives bringing many of them to life. Sometimes eliminating them, sometimes them bringing them back to life. So it's going to take time. Don't despair. What is important is consistency in the work. So this is for the structure. Now that you have seen this, now you understand how is it that you can see how any aggregate will affect your thinking, your emotions, and your habits. This is important. But those defects come and go because you're not always angry. You're not always ambitious. You're not always craving for food. You are not always joyful. You see, the law of the pendulum leads for many of these defects just to simply come and go. So when it comes to the transactional analysis, we have to start observing which defect is the one that was here before and which one came after. This is very important because some people who suffer from the condition of depression, many of them will find themselves in a situation where they may feel rejected by others. They may feel abandoned or not cared for. Those situations generate such negative emotions that the person will experience going past frustration and anger into areas of sadness and fear, all of a sudden to a condition in which they feel numb. And many people feel numb to such a degree that the only way that they can tell that they are still alive, the only way that they can replace the sadness and the pain that exists inside is exchanging it for corporeal pain. Lamentably, we see many of this in young children, young adults today. And they will result to mutilating their body. Many of them will cut themselves, and many of them will burn themselves and do these kinds of things. So we can see how one aggregate existed there. Maybe there was one that was content. Maybe there was one that was satisfied with the circumstance. One of those positive values of joy and companionship. And suddenly someone said something that was misunderstood by the ego, as the bad secretary that it is. And that value of friendliness with others is displaced then with one of these inferior aggregates that lead us into this path of depression. And the moment that that aggregate of depression satisfies whatever it is craving, as it demands of that sexual creative energy to feed itself, well, it suddenly then gets replaced with another inferior aggregate that is right there, rooted in the motor center, and it will seek to inflict corporeal pain in the body, and it will grab a cigarette and burn the skin, or it will grab a blade and cut it, or it will do something else to the body. Others of these transactions that we have noticed in people who suffer of very aggressive anger, they go through periods of anger that are so destructive towards the outside and towards the inside that they tend to seek shelter in the aggregates of lust. Difficult to comprehend it, but there is no logic behind it. And after they have gone through those periods of anger and they feel that they have been either betrayed or used or abused or taken advantage of, etc., to replace the suffering that comes from that, well, there would be some egos rooted in the motor center that will demand of that sexual energy, or those egos that are within the sexual center will immediately come up, and they will seek gratification for the body. Gratification because the few seconds of those sensations tend to distract from the suffering that existed before. And thus, people who go from a moment of exploding in anger to craving to watch pornography. So we have to understand these transactions. How, which ego was there before, which was there at the time of the drama, and what came out after. We need to understand this. Because we need to be aware of the conflicts that exists within the internal quarrels that happen within us. We need to see how is it that one ego is operating now and suddenly it disappears to have another one in charge of the human machine. And friends, this is happening all the time. Based on the principle of vibration, which is one of the seven principles of manifestation, the great Hermes Trismegistus, the principle of vibration says that everything is in constant motion. Nothing sits still. Everything is in movement. And these aggregates, these values, they are not still. They are active in the subconscious, in the infraconscious, just like there is an aggregate, a value active right now, and soon enough, that aggregate is going to be replaced by something else. As we understand the structure, as we understand the transactions, friends, the more we understand, the more we start noticing the patterns of the ego. And soon enough, you will understand those patterns so well, provided for a handful of these positive and negative values, that you will know what to anticipate and what to expect. And the moment that you are in that situation, you are in a very favorable condition. Because now that you can predict what is happening, now that you can anticipate that you're going from anger and that there's going to be something associated to lust showing up, now that you're going from feeling rejected to a situation in which you can potentially hurt yourself, now that you're going from a condition of feeling rejected to maybe stuffing yourself with cakes and pastries because of aggregates of gluttony, etc., etc. As you anticipate that, with that level of comprehension, you can then retreat, close your eyes, breathe and relax the body, invoke of your Divine Mother, and ask of her to help you eliminate the aggregate that you have comprehended. And as you do this and you dedicate the time to value A and value B and value C, you start making a lot of progress. Start focusing your effort to those defects that are very heavy. Ambition, greed, envy, anger, lust, intolerance, self-love, pride. Take your pick. Observe what is the psychological song that you seem to sing more often. And focus on that defect and give it 2 months of work. Because the 2 months will pass by whether you work on the defect or not. Give it 2 months, and give it 2 months of a good effort. And you will start noticing how is it that your life changes. This is what we wanted to share with you. If you need to, feel free to take a snapshot of the screen so that you can keep this as a memory jogger for later. We are roughly at 10 minutes to the top of the hour. I would like to honor the time that you are taking of your day to spend it here with us, and certainly would not like to start an exercise and just give you an exercise that is half-baked, an exercise that is just insufficient. So for all those of you who can afford to stay a little longer with us, let's go ahead and do our practice tonight, and let's go ahead and start by closing our eyes and relaxing our body. Let's go ahead and take a deep breath in. 1, 2. One. Two. Let's make ourselves aware of our emotional state. We already know that thoughts precede emotions. And being aware of our emotional state gives us clarity into thoughts that would otherwise go unnoticed. We do not judge our emotional state, we do not reject it, and we certainly do not justify it. We simply accept it with gratitude and with gratefulness, because this is a new moment. As we make ourselves aware of our emotional state, we make sure that every time that we breathe in, we are inhaling through our nose. Because connected to our nostrils are the two sacred channels of Ida and Pingala, Ob and Od, the channels through which the solar and lunar atoms of our creative energies flow. And our nostrils correspond to our ovaries or our testes. So every time that we inhale deeply through the nose, we are effectively inviting that transmuted creative energy to flow inward and upward. And that is another good reason to be grateful for this moment. And to relax the body, we will focus our attention on our feet. And we will use our objective imagination to see that our body is populated by an infinite amount of very little gnomes. And as we allow these gnomes to walk out the soles of our feet, we immediately start feeling that relaxation that comes from the toes, the heels, the ankles, up our shins and our calves, up to our knees. And we can perceive the lightness that is immediately felt in that distal part of our legs, and we experience it with gratitude. And we continue breathing in through our nose, out through our nose. With the purpose of making our breathing almost imperceptible. And as we bring back our attention to the soles of our feet, we once again observe those little gnomes walking out one by one, and that sensation of relaxation growing from our knees, upwards, deep in our thighs, relaxing our muscles, our connective tissues. And continuing to expand until we feel the relaxation in our glutes, around our hips, and we even relax our creative organs. And as we continue to breathe in through our nose, out through our nose, we feel that lassitude, that softness, throughout all of our legs and our lower body. We feel that gentle vibration of relaxation that is indeed the natural state of the human body. As we continue to breathe in, breathe out. We bring our attention back to the soles of our feet, and as we continue observing these little gnomes walking one by one, with every exhalation, we feel as we release any tension, any worries, any stress or preoccupation. From our internal organs, we release any tension from our intestines that are governed by the constellation of Virgo. We release any stress from our kidneys and the adrenal glands that are governed by the constellation of Libra. As we continue breathing in through our nose with every exhalation, we release any tension that may have accumulated in our liver. That is the foundation of our astral body. It is in the liver that we process our emotions. And our emotional swings, they put a serious toll of strain into the liver itself. And with every exhalation, any of that tension and all of it slowly dissipates. We bring our attention once again into the soles of our feet, and as we see those little gnomes walking out, we feel how any stress dissipates from our pancreas and our spleen. The spleen that is the foundation of our vital body. We relax our stomach. We relax our heart. We relax our lungs. And we elevate thanks and gratitude for the service that we consistently get from these beautiful organs. By now our breathing has become almost imperceptible. By now the exhalations must be very deep. And thus we bring our attention back into our feet. And as we see those little gnomes leaving the body one by one, we allow that sensation of relaxation to continue growing until it reaches the shoulders. And from there it cascades down the arms onto the elbows, the wrists, the hands, and it overflows through our fingers. As we continue breathing in through our nose and out through our nose, we allow for the dissipation of any stress that may be caught in our neck, and we relax our jaw, our tongue, our lips. We relax our nose, our eyes, our eyelids. We relax the muscles of our forehead. And from the back of our neck, we allow that sensation of relaxation to expand upwards. Upwards in the back of our head. Expanding itself into our ears, our scalp, all the way up to the crown. Use your objective imagination so that you can see from the center of your heart a very gentle hue of blue light. if we were all able to grab our hands right now and create a circle. This light would flow from one hand onto the next one. And it would be so powerful that it would allow us to irradiate love to all of humanity. And we say, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my eternal God, we're here at your presence, asking of you and begging of you for your collaboration. Divine Father, we offer you this practice, and we ask that you give us the opportunity to clearly comprehend the structure of our defects. We ask of you that you give us the clarity at the level of the consciousness to perceive the transactions of the ego. We ask that you strengthen and that you empower our consciousness to observe, so that without thinking, without rationalizing, but relying on its instinctive principles, that it could observe and perceive the structural aspects of all of our defects and perceive the transactions among all of these defects, together with the conditions that invite the reactions and the transactions. We ask that you consistently bring back into our body this deep state of relaxation, so that we may perceive and see and hear. And we ask all of this in your holy name. Let this materialize. Let this crystallize according to your will. So be it. And starting at this moment, initiate a retrospective exercise. Revisit backwards the events of your day, and you will notice that there will be one event that will stand out before all others. Focus on that event. Notice the defect in charge of the human machine. And determine from where it emerged. The intellect, the emotion, your habits or your instincts, or your sexual center. Make an effort for understand how it affects your thinking and your emotions and your habits. empower your consciousness to be the observer. Do not rely on the mind to try to extract attributes or characteristics of your aggregate. Simply allow the consciousness to observe and empower it. With this level of understanding, make an effort to see which values existed before this one was in control, and which one came after once this one released and relinquished the machine. When this aggregate was present, were you able to refrain the action and save your fire? When the aggregate was present, did you even consider it a problem or something dangerous? These are all learnings that we must take. And with this level of understanding, though still a little incipient, we invoke of our Divine Mother by saying, Divine Mother, we invoke you and we call you with our soul and our heart. Divine Mother, we ask of you, we beg of you, that you take of your electric fire, that you use your flaming spear of arrows, and that you take this aggregate that we have comprehended, that you help us, and that you reduce it into a cosmic dust. Destroy this defect, Mother, and set free our consciousness. We ask of this in the name of the Christ, by the power of Christ, by the love of Christ. Use your objective imagination to see the majesty, the beauty, and the power of your Divine Mother, and to experience her infinite love and compassion. Observe her delicate hands and see that from whatever remains exists of that aggregate, how her delicate hands retrieve something that looks like a little speck of sand, bright as the sun, and she gently deposits it within the temple of your heart. Divine Mother, we give you infinite thanks for the help that you give us. And we're infinitely grateful for your intervention, Divine Father. We ask that you bring back this deep state of relaxation at any moment during this day or in the upcoming days, so that we may continue working in the comprehension of our defects. And with this, we take a deep breath in. 1, 2. You can wiggle your toes and your fingers. And dear friends, this has been our practice today on the comprehension of our aggregates. So, dear friends, thank you so much for participating with us of One More Gnostic Lab. We wish you a phenomenal, relaxing weekend. Thank you so much for being with us, and may all beings be happy.